Yes. Today is the 14th of October, 2018, believe it or not. And as part of the project we're working on for the Westfield School District, we've been conducting a lot of interviews with former students and faculty members, coaches, teachers, whatever. And anyway, I was glad to have the opportunity to talk with, let me think, is that, you're a 98 grad, Mitch, West Dubuque High
Correct.
School. Mitch Gabrielson. And how about taking us back to before you came to the West Dubuque area, where did you get started as a little one?
Yeah, I was born in Belmont, Iowa, which is north of Ames, 90 minutes. My family over there owned a number of grocery stores and restaurants and department stores, sort of a chain in North Iowa. But my parents were divorced shortly after my little brother Mike was born. And then we headed east. She got a job in Iowa City at the hospital. Where I went to kindergarten and in first grade we moved to Dubuque, I think. And then my mom got remarried when I was in third grade and we moved out to the farm in Rickardsville on Highway 52.
Was that quite an adjustment for you to move to the farm? And
yeah, it was. I was running around the town and, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, it was quite an adjustment. I had to depend on her to take me everywhere and anywhere, so.
So she married Paul?
Yep.
Did he also have a family, or?
Yeah, he has 9 brothers and sisters, and I went to RHCL for a little while in Holy Cross, 3rd, 4th, and 5th grade. And 6th grade, and then in 7th grade, I moved to went to Farley, to the school there, because I wanted to be able to play football. And RHCL didn't have football; they had basketball, which I played. But
so you did play football.
Yeah.
Okay.
7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, and then that's it.
I know you had some. I know. I mean, Farley had some incredibly gifted teachers and coaches. Mm-hmm. Can you recall some of those people?
Bill Betts.
And influence on you? Billy Betts.
For sure. he was a carefree, good man. And, you know, that's one guy that sticks in my mind. There was a lot of McDermotts. There's C. McDermott and K. McDermott. And C, it sticks in my mind as well. And then Mr. Heyer would always say...
Marvy?
Yep, he would always say, I don't care, I'm just going to mark it in the book. And he would lecture us about how in high school they don't even care if you don't drink and vote. They're just going to mark it in the book and you're going to move on. And then there was... basketball coach Healy Chops. I still occasionally yell hey now when I'm watching my kids play sports. That's what he always did.
Chops was my I was his supervising teacher when he was at Loris, and so he came up. This is at St. Joseph's in Farley, and so traditionally, the student teacher comes out and observes, you know, some of the classes, and so he did. And finally, it was his turn to conduct the class. So I was in the back of the room, and he was presenting and doing whatever, and he started at some point standing in front of the class and talking about whatever it was. And finally, eventually, he sat down and finished the class sitting down, and so that class is over with. afterwards we visited, and he said, you know, he says, you notice when I was standing and I sat down, I said, yeah, I said, my pants started to fall down.
That sounds about right. He had an ASAT. Where's your ASAT?
Anyway, so yeah, it was a good experience at Bartley for the junior high grades.
Yeah, right? I think so.
And so then it was time to move on to ninth grade.
Yeah, and then eighth grade, I watched the Pops concert and got involved in the show choir. Then I tried out to be in that.
How did that attract your attention?
I wanted to dance with Becky Howard.
Okay.
That was the only way possible.
Awesome.
No, I remember watching it, and I watched Chad Rudin sing.
Yeah.
Incredibly. And I remember watching Danny Lightfoot, who was also from Rickardsville.
Sure.
So that kind of inspired me, I guess, to get involved.
So that was really caught your focus at that point, and as you moved into ninth grade.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was also, so in ninth grade, I played football, basketball, I ran track, and then I'd go live with my dad in the summers in Belmont.
What involved you there as far as his business?
Yeah, so I would. Their custody agreement was to be with her in the school years and him in the summers. So,
okay.
I would have participated in baseball probably had I not gone to there. But then my senior year, they ended up changing the rule where you can play for anywhere.
Okay.
If your parents live there or whatever. So then Mike got to play baseball for Belmont.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
What positions did you play? Or?
For football, I don't know. I didn't really play much. But then I ran track and ran at state 2 years. In the 4x8.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who were your teammates?
I was living in a shadow. My older brother ended up staying in Belmont, and he went to high school in Belmont. And then Mike and I, my younger brother, lived with our mom. So we were biological brothers, but sort of separated because by his choice. And so my mom allowed it, and he was a standout athlete, and he ran track for Belmont, and he was a four-time state champ and Drake Relays champ. And
really?
He ended up going to Drake running track, and then he ended up going on to, he joined an organization called Team USA Minnesota, who is focusing on developing distance runners for the USA Elite program, and then he went on running, he wound up running in four Olympic trials, and he got second place once in the U.S. Marathon Championship, and he ran on the World Cross Country Championships in Kenya and Ethiopia, Kenya and Japan and Scotland and wherever. But he ran all over representing. So I ran track, but never like he did. But
yeah. Okay.
You know, it turned out kind of to be, I think, that show choir was kind of my thing, I guess.
Yeah.
And you know, I did all that other stuff too, but you know, and then I was involved with the student council as well.
Okay.
You know, I was the president for 3 years, and then student council president their senior year.
So we worked a little bit together.
Yep. Yep.
So you hooked on to vocal music, and you got connected to Tom Fletcher.
Yep. Yep.
What do you remember about those years?
I loved it. It was friggin' awesome. It was one of my favorite things at the time in high school. We worked hard a lot, practiced a lot, but we traveled all over and we did pretty good. Yeah.
You know, that was those. I remember those years so really pretty well. It was, to me, it was pretty amazing. Well, first of all, how much support there was.
Yeah.
From the parents.
Yeah.
For the program.
Yeah. The parents were really supportive. Yeah. Because it wasn't cheap to participate. I had to find a way to make it work, I guess. But, you know, I was telling, it was funny because recently I was working on an event for out in Vegas, and the president of the company comes up to me and she's like, "Mitch, at 3 o'clock today you're going to be relieved of your duties." And I'm like, "What? What'd I do?" And she goes, "So you can go with me to the Country Music Awards."
Oh, wow.
So I ended up going with her and a couple of representatives from the Bellagio Hotel in the limo to the Country Music Awards. And then so the next morning I pulled up an old show choir picture of me in a lime green LeMay jacket and silver LeMay pants with bleach blonde dyed hair. And I printed it off and I made it into a card and I autographed it. And I wrote a little thank you note.
And
she's like, "Where in the world did you ever get this?" And so I told her, I started explaining it.
Yeah.
And she mentioned that maybe that's where you developed your need or desire to travel and, you know, see things and, you know, get around. Because we did that quite a bit. We went all over the Midwest. We went down to Florida and competed.
Yeah.
And,
The other thing that always got me focused on was the fact that you guys performed in front of large venues.
Yeah.
That must have been something that really gave you confidence.
Yeah.
In dealing with
people. I think so. Yeah.
So that was a good aspect of it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And getting involved in, I guess, if you look back on when we developed the competition, which I don't know if it still exists today.
Oh, yeah. It's still going strong.
Yeah. When we first developed that event, it was neat to see the logistics and everything that was involved with it. And
what it took to put it on.
Exactly. And so now I sort of do the same type of thing on a, you know, large scale with a bunch of money behind it.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
It's sort of the same thing because we're putting on giant shows or even small intimate shows, you know, like I did an event in Cabo, and there was a sort of an oasis farm in the middle of a desert, and they flew in John Legend and had a grand piano up on the stage with John Legend for about 250 people or something. You know, that sort of thing from, you know, events where we bring in Stevie Wonder and he performs for a group of 1,500 or, you know, that sort of thing, so.
Okay, take me back a little bit to how, at the very beginning, how did you get involved in what you're doing?
Nepotism.
Okay.
Yeah, my uncle is in the business, and it's a really neat little industry. We, in the industry, consider the people we work with to be our road family. It's because we develop relationships with these people who all do the same thing that I do, and that's travel around the world and manage the logistics for large-scale events, both conferences and incentive trips. Basically, events where you move a bunch of people, you know, and then we manage the logistics of all those details.
So you hooked on to him
So I got out of college, and then...
You went to college at...
I went to Iowa State in hotel and restaurant management.
Okay.
And then I went away, actually, and I did... My first program was for ADP, the Czech company.
Okay.
They had an incentive in Vail. That was my very first one that my uncle was responsible for staffing, and then he got me involved. And then once you get involved and you meet people and you show your worth, I guess, you sort of get introduced to others.
Good.
And you
network out.
You network out and you reach out to people and you start, and people then can say, yeah, I've worked with them. Or so you kind of sort of step your foot into it. But in the meantime, I was also managing, I was opening restaurants. So... I went up to Minneapolis for a while and managed Hula Hands restaurant up there. And then I got involved with our family, and we opened a bunch of franchise restaurants that I managed. And then my dad has a catering business. And anyway, events has always kind of been my thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
Dad came and catered at high school, I think, one time, some teacher appreciation or something.
What about your memories of some of your teachers at Westview?
McCready and Finley. You know, they're always on the coaching side of things. Track, you know, sophomore football. Danner is obviously always a huge... had a huge impact.
Remember the signs of cancer from...
I remember Vita Sabria that Tom Danner taught, and it's Latin for the life of Vita Sabria, the life of moderation.
Okay.
Not mediocrity. Because mediocrity is not right. That's not the goal. The life of moderation.
Okay.
Vita Sabria, I always remember that.
Mm. Yeah.
Except for last night, I forgot it.
Well, you know, what? I mean, I can't think of another person on our staff that had more impact on more lives than Tom
Banner, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went to his, we had a roast for him this spring, and it was hugely attended by a lot of people, and I remember there was a coach from DeWitt that was a wrestling coach and track also, but he was a very good speaker, and invited him to come up and say some nice stuff about Tom, but to roast him a little bit. So he came up and he said, "Yeah, he says I've known Tom for a long time." He says, "And you talk to people that have dealt with him as colleagues and students, and they all say what a great individual he was." But he says, "I got to tell you, I checked a little further with some of the people that he dealt with." Grew up with in college and high school, and they said, "What a goddamn asshole he was." So, anyway, that went over. That was a big hit.
Yeah, he nominated me when I was a freshman to be part of the, like the chosen to be with Ken Steffen and Lynn Lehman, I think, a couple others on the drug free school committee.
Yeah, Ken Steffen is my. Physician.
What? Oh, he is?
He's personal doctor.
Oh!
Yeah. Yeah.
Where is he?
He's at Medical Associates in Dubuque.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think another great teacher that I now look back and have a tremendous amount of respect for was Darlene Rush. I thought she did a really stand-up job. Teaching English. I remember
Carl Heim?
Yeah.
Math.
He used to say, I remember him saying, "Yeah, Wilson, pick your feet up a little and shake them around a bit so we know that your metabolism is more than that of a damned carrot.
Impressions. Oh, yeah. Well, so, you know, as far as what were your impressions of Tom Fletcher?
I had a lot of respect for him. I mean, I don't know. He was quite impactful, I think. You know, there was always, it seemed like there was a lot of drama, but
exactly.
I was never involved in any of it.
I think people that are in the artistic mode, because I had to deal with him as a faculty person, and he just didn't have a whole lot of idea on the cost of things and what it took to do something.
Yeah.
And so I had to keep reining him in, you know, a little bit here and there, because what his vision of what he wanted was great. And I think that at some point, as I recall, he didn't quite know if he wanted to move to the next level with you guys. And he got enough encouragement to do it. Because there was always that aspect of going to Jefferson, to compete at Jefferson, because that's where the big dudes hung out. Mm-hmm. And we were always wanted to move to that level. He wasn't quite ready to go there at some point, but I think he got enough push from where I went
to do it.
Because my memories of that time are connected to that event.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
And probably yours.
On Alaska was a big one.
Yes.
Jefferson. Yeah.
So, anyway, and you know,
at the time it was a successful program.
It was
a good, solid, successful program.
I mean,
and to be honest with you, we were required to take concert choir if you wanted to be in the show choir.
Yeah.
I think was the deal.
Yeah.
And then after that, they did away with that. And I don't know if that impacted the success of the show choir moving forward or not, but I often wondered.
Yeah.
You know, and it seems like more and more arts is something that you are gonna continuously probably have to pay for, you know, because the budgets are getting cut and everything else.
Yeah.
But you don't attribute it, you know, a lot of the things that, for me, you know, I attribute a lot of my talents to, that I'm using for my career to, you know, all that.
Yeah.
You know, kind of. You know, obviously along with math and reading and everything that built up the package, but.
Well, it was, you know, plus the interaction you had, you formed so many friendships with.
Yeah. Yeah, like even now with Becky and Jennifer, on the 40th birthday party, you know.
Did you go along to that one year we went to Florida for the, went down there with the show choir, the vocal
music? To Showstoppers at Disney World?
Yeah, we were down there. Was that one, I mean, for sure.
Becky in it still?
When Becky was a freshman.
I didn't go there then.
Well,
that was
okay.
You're younger.
Scott, right. Well, the memory I have of that would be that we were on this bus, you know, it was a large bus, and we went down there to the whole thing. And one day we had to get on the bus and we went to wherever, to Disney World, and all of a sudden somebody was on the PA system telling dirty jokes. And we're in this, sitting there in the back, and no one realized it was Becky. So, anyhow. Okay, so you went through the high school, you did the show choir, and track and yep. stuff, and
then I
gave Iowa State.
I gave the speech, the graduation, and then yeah, I went to Iowa State.
Okay, yeah. You remember that pretty well. Were we outside for your graduation?
We were inside. No, we were in the gym.
Yeah,
the little gym. So this is another project that I've been working on that kind of attributes to the choir days. It's EasyGoing. That Trail is a web platform that I built for EASY is an acronym for entertainment, arts, sports, and youth. So basically I'm developing this web platform where you can package together and offer up trips for these types of events.
Okay.
Bands and choirs, sporting teams, youth events. So this is like an example of one that I built for my son's baseball team.
Okay.
Where you basically can just put together these all-inclusive travel packages for groups similar to a band or a show choir. Oops. Hit the wrong button. And then this is how you can put together these travel packages for different groups. So that's another thing I've been working on.
Okay. That's an awesome project.
Yeah. So I'm trying to get it so that bands and choirs and let's say like a ESPN Wide World of Sports tournament down in Florida and all these different teams are going, I could put a travel package up for sale, but every team has their own individual booking page because they'll have their logo and their colors and everything like that.
Oh man, that's going to be a huge thing.
I've been working on the site for about a year.
Every time I go down to that area, because we've gone the last couple winters down outside of Orlando, right outside of Disney World, and I'm thinking, what an incredible moneymaker.
Hi, guys.
Yeah, hi.
I got to see what the dog track did today, or Saturday, because I want to win some money.
Awesome. Uncle Daddy.
Are you interviewing?
We're doing this. We're finishing up a little interview here. But I'm thinking, what an incredible money pot.
Yeah.
Wild World of Sports and all those teams.
Or even like, let's say the West Dubuque band is going to march in the inauguration parade. Then I'm looking for that sort of partnership to handle all of their travel plans and all their inclusions and anything that they want to.
They just went to Hawaii.
Yeah. There you go.
Example.
That's the market I'm trying to get into.
That's a huge market.
Uh-huh.
Of what you know, I'm sure.
Uh-huh.
My God.
Yeah, I was researching a company, you're probably familiar with them, Education First or EF Tours.
Okay.
World Strides is one maybe. But EF Tours, I think, last year profited $341 million. So I just want a little sliver, but
sure.
It's more, this is something that I've kind of come to love and as a passion, you know, so it's, I'm not focused on the money as much as I am just getting to get up and going. I think that'll come on its own, but I'm just trying to make it work, you know, figure it out. It's a very complex website, you know, you have to calculate it based on the number of people in rooms and where they're going and all that kind of stuff. So,
how do you see yourself being able to connect to groups to do this?
So what my goal is to just provide the platform to people who want to who are the organizers of the trip. So for example, if the mom from the soccer team is responsible for going out and finding the hotel room and doing all this work that it takes just for one tournament trip.
Okay.
We're making it so that she can just log on, pick a hotel, and then all of the team members can go in and buy that package. Because the hotel's already chosen and
you can handle the details.
Exactly. It's all ironed out. And then the volunteer doesn't have to put in these hours to and risk of, you know, hotel room blocks and all that.
For example, my granddaughter just with her group, dance group, went to Nashville in the summer and, you know, did whatever. That's the type of thing.
So I would love to partner with people like the dance, whoever's putting it on.
Yeah.
And then any teams that are coming can just, one person can log in, and then, you know, this team can be booked at this hotel and this one at this hotel. And then what we do is we manage the logistics on the ground as well. So if they're, you know, coming from far away or coming in, and, you know, there's bus shuttles and all that stuff, it's just what I do in the corporate world as well, you know, the same type of thing. Flying people in and out, moving them around, setting up their events and all that. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's what my goal is.
Well, you're well on your way.
You've got
the background, the experience, the details. You're setting this program up. It's
going
obviously it's going to go. So. If you had to do it over again, anything you'd do differently?
Yeah, I had to play 4 years of football.
Okay.
Instead of trying to run cross country and meet.
You would have had your passions would be football.
Yeah, for sure. Other than, I didn't enjoy cross country, but I did it because, one, my older brother was good, and they thought it would help my track program, which.
What's your older brother doing now?
He's a fourth grade teacher, and he's the head cross country coach at Edina High School in Minneapolis.
So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. And he has a wife and three kids. They just got back. His middle child is Otto. He has achondroplasia dwarfism. So they just got back from the Little People of America's regional event. They're big into that.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I also have Mike, who's in Chicago.
Right, who I ran into in the park a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Mitch, it's been a great experience to have this session with you.
Yeah, thank you.
We do the, you're like number 45 in the group, and I got to tell you, I think that people talk about their background and their experiences, but what I like to connect to and what I like to hear is the impact that our educational system had on everybody as far as their connection, whether they were students or teachers or athletes or whatever. Because I'm always so proud of it, and I didn't want to lose the memories of those years because they were different as time went on. Hard to believe that when you go to West Dubuque now, have you been there lately, or... You wouldn't believe it.
I haven't even been there since they put the new
facilities
in there. I need to stop in and just say
hi. The auditorium. It's a 900-seat auditorium.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean...
we didn't have any of that.
We didn't have any of that. But anyway.
But we moved forward anyway.
Yeah.
That's what we had.
And you guys really benefited from the challenges of those years. And, what it took to put those programs on and all that stuff, and your support from the parents,
agree.
Whatever. Okay. Thanks, Dad.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Bobcats.